جمال الوجود بدي
Living Islam Narcissism, the psychological catchword of the 21st century. But what is narcissism? How does it corrupt the soul? And can it be treated and cured? Join Molana Zaheer Ahmed Raghi every Wednesday morning as he unpacks the topic of narcissism and enlightens us on the Islamic perspective of tackling this spiritual sickness. Radio Islam International, bringing you contemporary and pertinent psychological discussions.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. This Wednesday morning, it's just gone quarter past nine in the morning. For myself, it is a great pleasure and a great honor to be on the platform standing in for Mulana Muhammad Bam, having Mulana Zaheer Ahmed Raghi with us and discussing this very, very, very important, this very pertinent issue. Unfortunately, we find in this current time that we are living in, there are lots of different feelings and emotions that people go through, and this is part of the difficulties that people unfortunately have to go through. As Molana has taken us through the series on this very important topic of narcissists and narcissism, we have come to find out that it is something much more serious than what people make it out to be. Those people that are experiencing it, or those people that live in a relationship, whether it's a parent, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a spouse that is experiencing these qualities or these traits, it can be very, very detrimental. It can be very, very challenging on the family, on the relationship, etc. Let's welcome Maulana Zaheer Ahmed Raghi into the studio. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, I hope you're doing well this morning.
Alhamdulillah, ma, doing very well. And as I said, a great pleasure to have you in the studio with us again.
Jazakumullah, jazakumullah. We have been out of the country. We were trying to do the programs from abroad. But alhamdulillah, we're back and we can continue live from the studio, inshallah.
Live from the studio. Jazakallah, ma, and our great appreciation to yourself. Even though Maulana was out of the country, ma, still took out time every Wednesday to make sure that the program did go out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Maulana tremendously for that. You know, it's a very intriguing discussion. Many people have appreciated it. Many people have sent many comments about how they are benefiting from the program and the things that they are learning from the program. And that is obviously the objective, is that we need to learn. We need to see if we have any of these traits. How do we get it out of us? How do we better ourselves? How do we become better humans? How do we become better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, narcissists are effectively spiritual criminals who are commissioned to deceive, steal, and destroy the good in people for their own personal gain. So we have been discussing how to identify Muslim narcissists. So these could be people who, you know, they might present a practicing Muslim identity, but they regularly display actions which are actually contradictory, or, you know, they sometimes follow some rules of Islam, but that is also for their own benefit. And then they abandon, they neglect others, or maybe they don't follow an Islamic lifestyle at all. These could be some examples of Muslim narcissists, Mawlana.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, Mawlana. I think at the onset, we need to mention that because primarily our audience is a Muslim audience, and therefore we are going to now focus quite a bit about prominent behaviors of Muslims that may have narcissistic traits. Mm. And the idea here is, firstly, for anyone who is guilty of it, to be observant and become self-aware, and also try to remedy this disorder, the spiritual illness, and also for people that are unfortunately on the receiving end of this trait as victims, for them to be aware of this. We have regularly mentioned that let's not self-diagnose, seek professional help, And we've also regularly mentioned that it's not fair to call someone a narcissist. Yes, he or she may have some of these traits, but we don't call them a narcissist. Mm-hmm. Like you don't call the person that he is a cancer, but he has, some of the symptoms of cancers. So in the similar way, so common and prominent behaviors of Muslim narcissists. Firstly, I'm going to be using some of the words and vocabulary and terminology because these are people that cause lots of harm to society, and also they are people that give a bad impression of Islam and Muslims. So they are basically like double-standard chameleons. Muslim narcissists may come across as being very practicing, but many are sometimes, not I wouldn't say many, some of them are, and we find this and we get regularly people talking about it, they are involved in short-term flings with other narcissistic Muslims, and sometimes, unfortunately, even non-Muslims, who are often beautiful and also reckless. And there is this, attraction to the opposite sex, which results in these short-term flings, and we should be very careful of this. Mm. They engage with other people unlawfully, establish unlawful relationships to fulfill their temporary desires, whilst they wait for the better long-term valuable source of supply from practicing Muslim, and some of them are empaths and even codependents. And we went at length in discussing these traits of codependents and empaths, and we're not going to go into that. But these are people who will fall for the religious facade of Muslims that display these traits. And they will feed you, and here I'm talking about primarily the victims who are our sisters, we should be careful of this. They will feed you with the fantasy of a happy future with children, holidays, and may even make noble promises such as sometimes, and I've heard this from some sisters, that they promised you to take you for Umrah, Hajj. If you are an attractive single mother, a narcissist will tell you early on that he's willing to take care of your children as also, because he believes you will help him become a better Muslim. And this is the way they, target their victims. This is sometimes very sweet music to the ears of a single mother. And this mother may perceive this person as a wonderful, selfless person. And a narcissist has to set the stage by presenting him or herself in a grand way, in a beautiful way, so that you overlook and dismiss the warning signs that they know will inevitably appear. And they are extremely, very tactful. They study you carefully to identify your weak points. They want to see if you are lonely, if you have supportive male relatives. And here we are talking of single women. Mm. They need to be careful, because many of them, out of desperation, get caught in this web. So they will study you. They will try to carefully identify your weak points. They want to see if you are lonely. Also, whether you have supportive male relatives, if you are a single parent, if you feel stigmatized because you are divorced, if you're worried about getting older and haven't had kids yet, if you are not financially stable, so that they can manipulate you, win you over by making you believe they understand what's important to you, and play on your insecurities. And they are able to move very fast and love bomb you until they have hooked you to the too good to be true fantasy world they are creating. And they want to get you infatuated to the point where it will be easy for them to get what they need from you. which is intimacy, money, a job promotion, sometimes even business opportunities, or even just to have this trophy wife or husband they can show off. Mm. Now, these are things that we are learning as we are talking to many people who are experiencing these type of things, and therefore we are discussing this. Narcissists love challenge. So if you are attractive, if you are practicing and doing well in life, you are perhaps the perfect target for the narcissist. Sometimes they don't actually want anything from you besides the satisfaction of showing others that they were able to get you, only to discard you later. And we've experienced this with lots of people that have complained, that go into this relationships with men, or sometimes even with women, and later they are just discarded. Keep in mind, not all men and women who are interested in you will be narcissists, of course. And that's very important for us to keep in mind. Mm. It's not that every man or woman that's interested in you that is a narcissist. And I will explain later how we can differentiate between the intentions of a narcissist and a genuine person, so that you don't paint everyone with the same brush, and nor do you lose out on potentially good, great partners. They will test your faith, they will test your boundaries, and we need to be aware of this. And therefore, I want to give for our listeners and our viewers some warning flags, some warning pointers. Now, these are things that through experience and through consulting with many therapists and people that are involved in these type of things, that I've gathered some of these things which I want to share with our listeners and our viewers. Do they say they are practicing Muslims but will stay on the phone with you even when it's time for Salah, and you end up missing Salah? These are warning signs that you need to have, that the person is giving an impression of being someone who is religious, who is pious, but yet they are on the phone and so long with you that they will even sacrifice their salah. And you wonder why they haven't gone to pray themselves. Sometimes, do they initiate going out on dates with you, get affectionate with you, and you end up becoming like a girlfriend, a mistress, a boyfriend? And do they drag relationships on for a very long time? These are all signs that we need to be aware of. As we've said many times, that the purpose here is to prevent these type of relationships. Sometimes, another pointer of red flag, do you get shocked and surprised that a woman who comes across as religious is sometimes making sexual advances towards you? Now, we know that these are very sensitive issues that we are addressing, but I've mentioned it previously, and I will regularly mention it, that if there is an elephant in the room, introduce the elephant. Let's talk about these issues. Sometimes, unfortunately, you find that a woman, you are surprised. They come across as religious, but then they make those advances towards even men. And as men, does he ask you for provocative photos without hijab? And perhaps even some, unfortunately, they even ask you for nude pictures. And I've seen this and I've experienced this. People have spoken to me about these things. And therefore, we are talking about these issues. Do they make you feel insecure and jealous of other people who are perhaps following them on social media, or those that they follow? Do they come across as people who just love to get attention, who love to get compliments in their regular selfies and their regular social media posts? Do they subtly say aggressive and offensive things and hide them behind jokes? This is also something, it's a warning flag. It's something that we need to keep in mind. Do they subtly say aggressive and offensive things and then hide them behind jokes? Like, I'm only joking. For example, they may say to you things like, And this is obviously, we are talking of people that are single women or divorcees or vice versa, or not necessarily that, but people that are showing interest in wanting to marry each other. These are warning signs that we need to keep in mind. For example, they may say to you when you are dating, and we're not advocating that, but these are things that happen in our community, in our societies. Do they sometimes say to you, if you ever cheat on me, I will kill you? Do they make fun of religious practices and make you feel inadequate? Either you are too religious or not religious enough. These are remarks that they make that we need to be very careful of and be observant. Do they make you question your own iman after they have lured you into committing a sin? These are some examples of manipulating tactics that narcissists will use to make you feel insecure, to make you feel confused, sometimes to make you feel powerless, in order to gain leverage over you. Now again, to my brothers and sisters, we are talking about these things so that we are observant and we acknowledge when we are faced with these types of remarks and communication. Another thing they are known for doing is telling you early on about their painful experiences with their exes or with their current partner. These are things that we need to be very careful. If they are telling you very early on when they're talking to you about their own painful experiences, either with someone with whom they were in a relationship, someone that was an ex, or someone that they are still in a legal relationship. To an empath or a codependent, this comes across as the individual being trusting, vulnerable enough to open up about their past. However, if they speak badly about their spouse, about the current partner, or about their ex, and claim that they were cheated on, or abandoned, or abused, and lie to them, know that this person is most likely to be a narcissist. What reason do they have, he or she, to start talking about their past experiences with the ex? In fact, there's a beautiful example, I think it was of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he was about to divorce his wife, and someone came to him and asked him that, why are you wanting to divorce your wife? What is wrong with her? And he said, look, she is my wife. Why should I speak ill about her? Eventually, he divorced her. And when people asked him, he then said, she is a stranger. Why do I get involved in riba? So these are such, you know, warning flags that we need to keep in mind. Healthy people heal before they enter into new relationships. And while they may say a few negative things here and there about what they went through, they will not come across as people who are still wounded, people who are still angry, people who are still bitter. Narcissists will feed you a dramatic, sobbing story from his or her own perspective. And they do this to gain your sympathy, to make you want to look after them, and work to prove that you will never treat them badly or leave them like their ex did or like how they left their ex. And this is what the narcissist wants to hear, because later on, when they start to show toxic behavior and the victim wants to leave, they will gaslight them by saying things like, I told you that you would break your promise and leave me like my ex did. I knew you never loved me. And thank you for showing your true colors. You deceived me into thinking you were nice and a loyal person. These are warning signs that we need to be aware of. In fact, codependents in particular will go out of the way to try and impress narcissists by showing them that they are nothing like their ex, and they absolutely love this ego stroking. You know, they will also make extra effort to prove that they are loyal. If a narcissist claims that their ex cheated on them, to give them plenty of reassurance. However, narcissists take advantage of this behavior by being controlling, possessive, and whenever they want to be and saying things like, I'm sorry, it will take me a while to trust someone again after being cheated on. Please bear with me. When you hear these stories, be aware. Be cognizant of what's happening. They will also test their partners by saying these things to see if they will be understanding, if they will be accepting of their toxic behavior, because they have now justified it by telling you all these things that they are saying. If you can relate to most or all of these that I've just mentioned, then know that who you are, know your Islamic beliefs, your morals, your faith, and the principles are being tested. When a person with whom you are intending to have a relationship, and if you identified some of the things that I've just mentioned, then be aware that your Islamic beliefs, your morals, your iman, your faith, your moral principles are being tested, and your boundaries are being pushed, and you should be extremely, extremely careful. If a narcissist accomplishes his or her mission of bending or breaking your boundaries, then they will secretly lose all respect for you, and it will become apparent in their attitude, in their actions, in their words, and in their behavior. And the next step will be to discard you and leave you as an emotional wreck while you wonder what you can do to get them and their approval back. Narcissists only leave you after they have satisfied that they've managed to destroy what makes you a good and happy person. They don't like seeing people happy. To a normal and healthy person, someone who compromises on their principles is perceived as a low-value person who doesn't have a strong foundation, nor do they truly believe in what they claim. Healthy, practicing Muslims will always be attracted to people with strong character and who show loyalty to Deen and the laws of Allah. A narcissist, however, will see early on during the love bombing stage that here they have found someone who they can manipulate, who they can manipulate emotionally, and they will take it as an opportunity and a challenge to deplete you from your faith, from your mental and emotional stability. At this point, the narcissist will disappear sometimes. They will turn around and say that they lost interest because you have changed, and now they want a practicing wife or a husband, making you feel awful, making you feel guilty, making you feel depressed. This is something narcissistic men do more than women. And in a matter of days, in a matter of weeks, and sometimes months, you will see them with someone new, with a new practicing Muslim woman whom they are now interested in, or to whom they have committed to, and their cycle just continues and continues. I see there are so many people that are sending messages here on the screen of the Ummah Heart. They're actually resonating and identifying with these things. Perhaps they have experienced these type of things. So let us be careful. Alhamdulillah, we have the right teachings of our deen. And yes, there are many single men and women who are wanting to get into good relationships, but there are also people that really want to take advantage of this.
Yeah, most definitely, most certainly. Jazakallah, Moran. That was a very, very, very beautiful explanation and a very clear warning that Moran has given us, something that we have to understand, we have to appreciate, as Moran put it across right from the start. You know, you might be single, male or female, you might be looking to a relationship. You shouldn't keep it that every person that is going to approach you, especially if you're a female, a male is approaching you, they're intending to get married to you. You don't have it in your head that every person that is coming has these behaviors, but you got to be alert. You got to be aware. As Ma said right in the start, that, you know, these people did a very thorough studying of you. They studied your relationships, what went wrong, where it went wrong, how it went wrong, what you're currently living, what's your situation, financial situation, so that it makes it easy for them to target you. Now, while they are doing all their homework so that they can target you, you need to do your homework as well so that you don't fall into their trap, so that you don't become another victim, another very sad and unfortunate victim of these people. So therefore, it is imperative. It is very, very, very important that you should keep these warning signs. Marana gave so many of them. You should keep these warning signs in mind. Now, just remind the listeners that you can send your messages. The WhatsApp line is running, alhamdulillah, today, 072-786-1548. 072-786-1548. It's 20 to 10. We'll go for an ad break. We'll take the break at the end. So other aspects that we can maybe look at, Marana, with regards to this with regards to the topic that we are discussing today. Narcissistic men love to target practicing Muslim women who are more likely to feel guilty if they feel they aren't fulfilling their partner's Islamic rights and carrying out their duties properly.
Yes, this is also another very, very important point, Morana, that we need to discuss. They love to target practicing Muslim women who are more likely to feel guilty if they feel they aren't fulfilling their partner's Islamic rights and carrying out their duties properly. Now, we spoke about gaslighting in the past, and they can gaslight even the most intelligent of women and make them doubt themselves and their knowledge of Islam. So they are extremely, you know, they're so manipulative. And narcissists will use manipulation tactics such as making you feel stupid for not being able to clearly see their distorted interpretation of a Quranic verse or hadith. So I'm being very careful in the choice of my words. A narcissist will use manipulation tactics such as making you feel stupid for not being able to clearly see their, distorted interpretation of the Quranic verse or hadith. And later I want to identify some of these ayat and ahadith with some of these Muslim narcissists in the spiritual abuse would misinterpret. Inshallah, we'll get to that. They may deliberately offend you by saying that you weren't raised with the correct Islamic teachings and that they have to take it upon themselves to teach you how to be a wife or how to be a husband. And many, they make women feel inferior. They make women feel inadequate, while narcissistic women make their husbands feel worthless as providers if they are unable to meet their high financial demands. And this is also very common that we are experiencing today. Women may also humiliate, belittle their husbands if they are unable to satisfy their financial demands. And yes, even sometimes if they are unable to satisfy them sexually, by comparing them to other men they knew in their past or reminding them regularly of their failures. This causes a dilemma for codependent men who become worried and fear that their wives will betray them with other men. And these are things that we are finding as an increase in our community. Narcissistic women will also go out of their way to find out and sometimes lie about what other men do for their wives to make their husbands feel inadequate, as they are not doing or unable to do enough to keep them happy. And I recall, when we just started the program, there were some of the men that called and spoke about these things. And the worst type of manipulative women are those who complain about their husbands in front of other people to cause pain, maximum pain, and also think that this is a way that they are teaching their husbands a lesson. Yes, they may even physically hit or verbally disrespect their men in front of others as well to show everyone who is boss. And these are, and we should not be mistaken that narcissists are only men. There are also women that are that display these traits. Codependent men usually laugh it off, don't cause a scene. This causes their women to lose even more respect for them sometimes. But they are suffering emotionally inside because they hate how weak they feel. So this is also something that we need to keep in mind on both sides of the story.
Well, it's definitely something we have to keep in mind. Another question that comes about is, maybe Ma can take us through some of the noble verses of the Quran as well as the Hadith, which are used to control and manipulate women.
Yes, Maulana. This is a section, Maulana, that we are going to discuss. I want to pre-warn our listeners and our viewers that please understand what we are saying in its proper context. Do not cause more mischief and fitna by misrepresenting what we are going to now discuss, because it's important that we understand what we are saying in the context of our discussion. In the past, in our discussions, we had people that just willfully misrepresented things that we are discussing. So I want to pre-warn our listeners. If there is an issue that you disagree with, talk to us. Our lines are open. You can talk to us and we'll address the issues. So let's go through some of the ayat of the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that people as narcissists will use to control and manipulate, in this case, primarily women. The first one that I want to talk about is, there is a hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if I were to order anyone to prostrate himself before another, I would have ordered a woman to prostrate herself before her husband. Now this is a hadith that we've heard many times. It's a sahih hadith recorded in Sunan Tirmidhi, Riyadhus Salihin. Now there are the common commentaries of this hadith. It's important to understand a hadith in its proper context. And among the many meanings and commentaries of this hadith, it is also to mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm saying this among the many meanings, so I'm not, what we are saying is not the only meaning. Among the many meanings and among the many commentaries of this hadith, it is also to mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this in a relevant context, not because a husband is elevated to the position of a ilah or a god, and not because he is a better creation. That's not the context with which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith, but rather to emphasize, among the many other meanings, how a Muslim husband is expected to be in terms of his duties, in terms of his responsibilities, in terms of his manners, in terms of his kindness, in terms of his love, in terms of him practicing of Islam, to receive this grand gesture of appreciation. So when a man possesses such qualities as a husband and a leader of the family, the ones that I've just mentioned, his wife would naturally want to worship the ground he walks on. It's a figure of speech. Out of her willingness to express her deep love and admiration for him in the best way. So when we hear the phrase, she worships the ground he walks on it. It doesn't mean she literally worships him.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, among many other meanings, meant that it would be perceived as an expression of love if it was permissible for a woman to do so. In Islam, prostration is only considered to be the highest level of submission. It's a highest level of love, highest level of worship and admiration for someone. And it has been saved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is therefore forbidden to prostrate to anyone other than Allah. Now, the hadith is meant to be an inspiration for Muslim husbands to improve their character. But unfortunately, abusive Muslims may quote this hadith to degrade, to humiliate, and force their wives to see them as supreme beings who have great authority over them, rather than deriving the message from the hadith in the way it was intended among the many intentions. Some men may even go as far as telling their wives that they will go to Jahannam if they don't borderline worship and obey them. So this is the first hadith that we need to be cautious of. And many a narcissist men may use this hadith, misquote it, misrepresent it, to gain their authority and submission from their women. Moran, you want to say anything?
No, Ma, it's just that there's quite a few messages, and the messages all seem to agree, appreciating the points that Maulana has mentioned right from the start, and even as Maulana is going through now, it's all people in agreement with what is happening. People maybe have some other aspects which Maulana probably will cover in going through the program, but people are saying that they can resonate with exactly what Maulana is saying. Comment here, Maragi and Radio Islam, I cannot thank you enough for these programs. Jazakallah. Listening to everything Maulana is saying resonates so much with me.
If we can carry on, let's take one more ayah.
Let's take one more, Ji.
So we spoke of a hadith. I want to talk about an ayah. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala an-nisa bima faddala Allahu ba'dahum ala ba'd. Now, this is another ayah. Let's just give a very scan through the translation of this ayah. In the ayah, it is mentioned, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna, men are the protectors and maintainers of women by the right of what Allah has given one over the other in strength and tasked with supporting them financially from their wealth. Fasalihat, and righteous women are devoutly obedient and when alone, protective of what Allah has entrusted them with. So this is an ayah, Surah Nisa, verse number 34. Now, in this verse is also another ayah that narcissist men will manipulate women by making use of this ayah. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala sets out the dynamics of a successful and balanced marriage. That's the objective of this ayah. Many women believe that Allah favors men over them, which is why he gave them a higher degree of authority. Many women, especially in the world that we are living in, use this to draw criticism against Islam in the Quran. And they believe that Allah favors men over them, which is why he gave them a higher degree of authority. However, the authority given here by Allah Ta'ala is directed, among others, also specifically towards their physical duties as providers. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. It is here towards their physical duties as providers. Now, although sometimes an ayah comes in the context of an environment that we live in, or a hadith is mentioned in the context of a certain incident, but the application of the ayah and the application of the hadith is not necessarily restricted to that condition. It becomes more general, and that's some of the principles and usuls of our deen, our Quran and ahadith. So, in ancient times, providing for a family was a very difficult task. They did not have the machines, the technology to help them with farming, construction, and other physically demanding jobs. And so Allah Ta'ala, because the way Allah Ta'ala created men and women differently, Allah Ta'ala relieved women from the task of providing for the family and entrusted men with this, as they are naturally, physically stronger. In return, a woman is responsible for taking care of her home, taking care of herself, her husband, her children, and should provide a pleasant home to relax after a hard day's work. Now, whilst he is away, she is expected to show her gratitude. She is expected to show her appreciation to him by not talking negatively about him behind his back, sharing his secrets, or giving other men access to her. Now, this is the context of the ayah. This ayah emphasizes the importance of marrying a righteous man who can provide you with security, who can provide you with love, who can provide you with mercy, so that your duties towards him will not be difficult or a burden. Now, this is the context of the ayah. Now, it is recorded in a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as recorded by Abu Huraira, that if a woman prays her five salah, fasts her month, guards her chastity, obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter Jannah from whichever of the gates of paradise you wish. Now, this hadith, among others, is often misinterpreted, this ayah, as an excuse to guilt trip, to gaslight women into believing that they may not go to Jannah if they don't obey their husbands blindly. So this ayah, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna Ala Nisa, we've explained the context of the ayah, we've explained the meaning of the ayah, but often narcissist men will misinterpret and use this ayah as an excuse to guilt trip and gaslight women into believing that they may not go to Jannah if they don't obey their husbands blindly. And narcissists make women believe that it's in their hands, it's in the hands of the men as to whether their wives will go to Jannah or not, by claiming that they must be pleased in order for their faith to be good. This, of course, is not true, as only Allah can decide who enters paradise, and Allah is aware of every oppressor who is using. Allah is aware, be careful, men and women. Allah is aware of every oppressor who uses religion, who uses deen, to spiritually abuse and manipulate women into being obedient. However, some women who believe these men will go to great lengths to please them out of fear that they are not doing enough, so that they don't get punished or go to Jahannam. And narcissists love this, as they are getting an increased sense of importance, egoistic fuel supply. Marana, I would love to go more on this, but I think we've taken a lot of our time. Inshallah, we'll come back to this section if you want to just add something. I know the topic is such that once we go into it, we just talk.
But we're enjoying it, so listening so much, Ma. As I said, the feedback that is coming through is really amazing. People are really appreciating, and Mara is doing an excellent job explaining, you know, how narcissists will, or people that have these qualities in them will go and will stoop to such levels that they'll even take the hadith and make it fit and suit their character and the things that they want to try and do. They'll do the same with the Noble Quran. It's very, very sad that they'll go to this extent and just make the Quran seem like it's fitting them, the hadith seem like it's fitting them. We obviously have to be very careful and very wary about these type of people. But Jazakallah so much, Maya. It's been very, very beneficial, and we have learned so much throughout the series that Malana has been running. Today was no different.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So from our side, that brings us to the end of the program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means that we can benefit from this program. The program is podcasted as well, and it is made available from our side. Jazakallah for listening in, and the questions that has come through, people asking certain questions.
Marana, just go through some of them very quickly, Marana.
If
you think there is any of importance.
Yeah, there's some of them that they speak about the mothers, you know. Sometimes it might not be in a relationship. You know, if you have a parent that has narcissistic qualities, how do you get through that? That could be a bit more challenging. It's more challenging than... But Maulana will go through those various topics as we go through the discussion. Jazakallah so much to Maulana. Jazakallah to the listeners. From our side, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum.